Buddy, welcome to the first edition of Daily Digest with Jimmy Jisoo for the week. Listen to this. I got this morning after my program with Mariam. I got this from a very close friend, okay? And she says, she's Ethic, and she says, "Good morning. Thank you. Your comments as regards hate speech, and in particular the ethnic bigotry being displayed, is apt and very succinctly put. It is very, very sad. If you see some of the comments I've received, I can best describe them as pathetic." This is a woman in her 60s. Well, I don't know. I think it's anyway, in her 60s. That's pathetic. "The nice thing, though, is it has revealed the true character of some people otherwise being perceived as knowledgeable. People that one had a modicum of respect for. Sad, very sad." Okay? "I hope we are ready for the aftermath. Okay? I'm beginning to question some of my relationships. To say the least, I don't feel safe, and I am third generation in Lagos. My parents met and got married here. My mother's only sibling got married to Justice Jibowu's first daughter in 1957. It is what it is. May God forgive those stoking the embers. Have a good day." This is what I had as I was trying to take my coffee this morning. Good morning, everybody. Today's program is going to be a very sober one. And we will look at, we'll stare ourselves in the face. And we'll have to tell ourselves some home truths without any quarrel. Most people are worried about what is going on in Lagos right now as we speak, especially in the social media, as regards WhatsApp messages. And what is it about is all about the ethnicity that has now just been introduced into the elections for governorship in Lagos next week. Now, the first thing that we need to acknowledge is that, okay, so the party in power, got a surprise with the results that were, released last week. At least two weeks ago, showing the performance of, to put it bluntly, the Labour Party in Lagos. So let's take the issues one by one, so that we can know where exactly we are going. The first thing is that, is the Labour Party, so of course there's this ethnic coloration, the Igbos want to take over Lagos, fair enough, let's keep that there. Why? Because Peter Obi is the presidential candidate of the Labour Party. Okay, so we will now ask ourselves, number one, so the Labour Party now has a candidate who by origin is Lagos. Not just Yoruba, is Lagos. That's his origins. And as it were, it turns out that his mother is from the East. So the first question you ask yourself, and then the other gentleman in the party is of Yoruba origins, but not from Lagos, which doesn't mean anything to me. I'm just stating the facts. So, the Labour Party, is the Labour Party an Igbo party? Or the Obedient Movement, is it an Igbo agenda? If you ever go about thinking that's what it is, you will miss it. If you look at the performance of Labour nationwide, something will tell you that there is more to that movement than meets the eye. And it is simply a movement mainly. Remember, it's the Obedience that moved. Labour Party itself was very weak on the ground until the Obedience moved in. The Obedience, from my own reckoning, majorly are made up of young people, young Nigerians, who are colorblind. They are completely insensitive to color. Why? Because that is the new Nigeria. We were the last set to be born when Nigerian Youth Service Corps had not started. By the time we grew old to the marriageable age, we were getting colorblind. My good friend Akiti, who is the governor today, his wife is from the East. My children are half East, half they're half East and half Benin Republic. You know, I have cousins, Port Harcourt, name it. So over time, these borders are going down, like it is happening all over the world. So this perception of son of the soil, this, of course, other parties also have Funsho Duati and all this, you know, Kunle Uthman and so on. But we are talking of the two major contenders. This is not to run down the others, and it's not to run down Jandor, who is also, as you will call, a son of the soil. Okay? That's from the PDP. But you get a sense that the major problem is that. So there's now a fear that, oh, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of our people don't stop to think deeply. They don't, they're very emotional. They just, you know, latch on to what is thrown at them. And yesterday I was with my cousin, my first cousin, and he was talking about his legacy. That, oh, I must go and fight for my legacy. I said, where is that legacy? Where is it? Can you show me where it is? Let me come with you. And then he stopped in his tracks. I said, because if you were to talk of legacy, as a Lagosian, you lost your legacy a long time ago. Don't let's go into the politics of that. Because the politics of that, at the end of the day, is what I would call a feel-good politics. In reality, what you own is what you own. If you have a house, you have your COO to cover, and it ends there. In reality, what you have is people of influence influencing other people for their own benefits. And like I told them, I'm not a contractor. I don't even want to live a life of being in the corridors of power and go and take things that are coming off the table, or some that have entered the dustbin. So when we, you know, because you see, some of these politicians, go and check the social media. These same people that are propagating this, tomorrow you'll be hearing, oh, my friend from another mother, my brother from another mother. When it's time to do that one, you don't hear any of this. So what is being propagated now is that, so one of the candidates, because of his origin and his from his mother's side, the Igbo specifically, quote and unquote, we don't want them to take over Lagos. At face value, it looks okay, it looks legitimate. If you think deep down, it is selfish, it is dangerous, it is highly irresponsible for any adult to advocate that. Why do I say so? Okay, so you people want to jackpot to another country, you are looking for Iwe. You want to go to Canada, you want to go to America. Some of you have houses in other places, because this discussion usually starts with the elite. This has nothing to do with the common man. The common man cannot have more than a 6x4 room that is in his face-to-face where he's living. And you now, the drumbeats of war are now making the rounds over an unverifiable claim. Because you ask yourself, okay, take over Lagos. So let's even assume this man becomes the governor. Who are those who are concerned about is the contractors, so that they can get closer and closer to what is happening. To the common man, he just wants a chief executive to run this state the way a state should be run. It could be the incumbent. It could be another person. The choice is yours. That's all there is to it. For you out there that you really don't have, what is your business? When Marwa was running this state and we were all happy, he was even from the north. Marwa is from Adamawa. And I have said, sitting down here, If Mara decides to run for governorship again, I will campaign for him, even against the Lagosian, if I think it's more. Because at the end of the day, I want a governor who can run this state effectively. That's all there is to it. That is all there is to it. And so I'd like to plead caution with our people. Don't let us throw this country apart over things that even in the first instance don't concern us directly. It doesn't concern you. It's none of your business. If you are not a contractor, let them go and sort themselves out. You know, that's my appeal this morning. As you can see, I'm in a very, very sober mood because the whole of yesterday, my phone almost crashed. And I've warned people, don't forward this. Some of the things they are forwarding are so dangerous. They are so dangerous. There was one AWI something, one AWI video that was sent to me calling, these people are coming, no. These things are called hate speech. It is called hate speech for those who keep forwarding these things. You are gradually filling a form to go and spend the rest of your life eating beans and water. If you know what that means. They politely call it correctional center. It is called prison. And it's traceable. And you will, in case you don't know from experience that what happened, they are still arresting people who did things in this during the Second World War. There was one, they took him on his bed, or his sick or deathbed as it were, to court for judgment about 2 years ago. So take care, note that all what you're doing, in case you don't know, is in itself criminal and can be traced. And that is why I have told people, don't send me these things, because I will do what I should do as a good citizen, because I don't want to go to eat in my final year. I'm in my last quarter. I don't want to go and eat beans and drink water in correctional center, otherwise known as prison. Okay, so let's just try and live in peace. I have said this. My advice, the APC has to be careful. I'm not saying they are the most guilty, but they have to be careful. Ashiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu is the president-elect of this country at circumstances that are a bit shaky. Whether he will get the ultimate prize or not, only God knows. But in the interim, please help this man settle down. Because you see, what you do here, which is his home base, for a man who is going to be president, you cannot have his home base being racked apart by ethnic considerations. And this is the man that has put this whole thing together. So the only reward you can do to him after you've attended all the rallies after attending all the rallies and doing all this, the only thing you can reward, I must say this thing, the only thing you can reward him with is to provide an enabling environment for him to take off. Remember, history beckons on him and is the benefactor of 99% of you in that party. Whether you like it or not, we know. And so any form of sabotage here is a sabotage to the aspiration of Achiwaju. I doubt very much if he would have agreed to this kind of thing, because it is on history that in this state, you see, one thing about Achiwaju is, say what you will, he keeps making history. And you must respect him for that. It is on history in this state that he has been the most tolerable. He has been the most tolerable of all who have governed this state, and the most accommodating. That spirit must continue even after he has gone to the center to fry a bigger fish. If I remember Joe Igbokwe, Ben Akabweze, all these people, they thrived under him in Lagos. And I think one of the reasons for his level of acceptability is that open heart that he has. And so my advice is that it must not be abused under any pretext. In any case, whilst it appears that the Labour Party is the biggest opponent of the APC, the way some of us look at it. The real opponents are the young people. And it stems from what happened at the NSAS. The young people, the elites, they are the major opponents that the APC needs to face and work on. We've seen a few of the things that they are doing, you know. I wish them luck. But one thing I tell you is this. You can force a horse to the river. You cannot force it. Is it to drink or swim? You cannot force it to drink water. But that's for them to sort out amongst themselves. And please, we would rather have our civil service being apolitical. We would rather, because the civil service doesn't belong to the party. It belongs to the state. Just like you are not expected to use state funds for party and private activities, the same thing applies to the civil service. It belongs to the state. It is perpetual. It is there. The political side of things is to just get a leader. The civil service must be neutral, and its objectivity must be sacrosanct. We don't believe that under any condition that if you're a civil servant, you must be a member of the ruling party. In fact, we'd rather you not be a member so we can have some kind of balance. But that is another problem for another day. Let us face this one that we have now. So what do we do? First thing is, let's all be careful. Don't forward these things to another person. Apart from the fact that it's bad for your conscience, it reveals your character. It's also important for you to know that you are committing a grievous offense. I wish there was a lawyer here. I don't know what the whatever is for hate speech. You know, maybe I need to bring in some lawyer next week. Because this one just fell on me this morning. The second thing, we need the governor himself. Even though he's a candidate, he's still our governor. He's still the chief executive of the state. He needs to not just make a statement. Let us have a visual broadcast. I said this last week. Where he guarantees the safety of everybody in the state. The state belongs to us all. If people have their houses, their CFOs and whatever, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't have people, they build their houses in Lagos, they pay tax. They pay tax, they do everything. And now you say they shouldn't be involved in who leads the state. Who does that? If that were the case, then even some of these political people that are causing this wahala for us themselves, we will be telling them to go back to their own states. But we don't do that. We are very accommodating. Let us not forget that for those, some of these who are making the loudest noise, some of them are not even like Gochans anyway. So you can't speak on our behalf. We are accommodating people. When I was growing up in Yaba in the 60s, Igbos won the election there. We were all happy. So let's get that very clear. Whoever wins, we wish them luck. We've had how many years of APC in about 20-something years. If we decide that we no longer want, so be it. But if we decide that we want them to stay, so be it. So let's please, we'd like the governor to say something to quell nerves. Because see, the way this thing is going, my mind, something keeps telling me in my mind, and I don't sleep well at night, that, and he said in Yoruba, Ogunbo, they will tell you prophets, several of them say there is something, is brewing. I saw this thing happen, I was a 10-year-old, but a 10-year-old in my own time was not enough. A 10-year-old was reading Daily Times cover to cover. Okay, so there was no social media, so it's what your parents saw that you also saw, you know, reading cover to cover. 9:22. We'll soon take a break. When I take a break, I'm going to open up our lines, and it is opening up our lines for peace. Please, this is a peaceful day. We are opening up for peace, not for arguments. There are enough arguments to go for everybody to want to justify his position. But at the end of the day, I think peace is paramount. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190, which is a female line, and I come in peace to you this morning. Let us all embrace ourselves in peace. It's not worth it. There's going to be a day after now. After Saturday, there's going to be Sunday, Monday, and many more years. And these things we're doing, I mean, I've seen people who are even married, directly married their children. But like I said, the young people are colorblind. This lady sitting down next to me, I don't even know her state of origin. I'm not asking you, you don't need to tell me. I don't know, but I've embraced her like my daughter. She can't want to fall down now with me not attempting to lift her up. So what's all this? We'll take a short break and we'll be right back, then we'll take your calls. Yes, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. A very sober Daily Digest today. We hope that those who have the power to do so will quickly intervene. I'm glad that the police have, I think I read a story from them in the morning, and they have assured people you can go out to cast your votes. Where's the story now? Okay, police assure voters of safety amid threats, and they are to arraign 5 persons for electoral violence. I'm surprised it's only 5 that they are going to arraign, given the stories that we got last week. But it's important for the police to know that we don't have what we call a deterrent policy. That's a policy that names and shames people as a deterrent for others, whatever. So I like our security agencies to be on full alert, and some of these whatever, making the rounds, see if you can grab one or two people and make an example out of them. Because it's not allowed all over the world. It is not. Hate speech is not. If you allowed hate speech, there will be no world at all. At all, you know. And hate speech could go down the wire. Okay, so today we are talking, you find that today we are talking two ethnic whatever. Tomorrow it will be even within ethnic. It will not be sub-ethnic. The Jebus and the Egbas and stuff like that. We can't be doing that. Having another kid in 2023. An election is simple. Go there and cast your vote. And luckily you have choices. You have the Labour Party. You have the PDP. You have the APC. You have... Go there, cast your vote, and do the needful. So, like I said again, I come in peace, and I'd like to hear people. But please, no pranks, okay? I'll be very cross. And if anybody plays any prank, I can trust you. The appropriate authorities will trace that line. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Jimmy.
Morning.
Yeah, for me too, it's quite sobering. I was telling my husband today that this election period has really shown the mindset of a lot of people. Yes. I've lived in Lagos for over 4 decades, yes, and I've schooled mainly in the West, that's in this Oyo precisely, and it's scary to think that most people have this type of mindset. GR, like you said rightly, the obedience movement is mainly youth and the elite. So even during the time of the rallies and they're saying people were not coming out, I was like, is this me that I'm going to stand under and start carrying placard? We knew what we're voting for. We're voting based on issues. We're not voting based on tribe. It wasn't about what we're seeing. It wasn't about any of those things. We were voting based on the issues that were on ground. It's the same thing with GRV now. Most of us are voting based on the issues on ground.
I'll leave it at that because I don't want the issue personalized.
Okay, I'm not going into it, but I'm surprised.
But your 1 hour is up. Your 1 minute is up.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me first of all disabuse your mind that these are pranks that are being played by politicians. It is true some people fall for it. Some of us don't. Some of us don't. I will tell you bluntly what it is. Politicians are extremely desperate. And what is the desperation about? A lot of people think power, but there's more to it. You know, government is a fat cow to be milked. And everybody wants to be able to put his mouth to the nipple. And that's what you're having. So don't be deceived out there There is nobody that is, nobody is taking over anywhere. No harm is coming to anybody. Go out there and cast your vote. You're a citizen of the state. By law. It's as simple as that. So don't let's split us. And the world is moving forward, we are moving backwards. If the whole United States of America can have an African, if the United Kingdom can have a Briton of Indian descent, full Indian, Hindu, Mayo, the same thing. Scotland, if you are not taking the same thing. For God's sake, let's open our eyes. You always, it's so funny. You will have going to China for foreign direct investment, and this investment, that investment. But you also want to close shop at the same time. Ah, no. It doesn't work like that. It's mischief. I say boldly that what you are looking at is mischief. Unfortunately, this irresponsible narrative, those who are perpetuating it, have forgotten that should the consequence come, it might not fall on one head. So if they are forgotten, we will remind them that please do not set our country on fire. Okay? So we'll take the next one. Hello, morning.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, my name is Richie. I'm calling from the UK.
Yes. Is this the Uche?
No, that's Uche from Ikeja.
How many Uches do we have in the UK?
I used to call you from Norwich.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Morning, sir. Hello?
I can hear you. Go on, Uche.
Uncle Jimmy, God bless you. God bless you so much. You are one of the voices that's making the difference in this generation. And I want to salute your courage, sir. And God bless you and thank you for us.
Thank you.
Sir, I joined the Twitter space some time ago, last week.
Yeah.
And it was being hosted by one of the major parties, their supporters in diaspora. So I joined them because I'm a car carrier member of that party, but I don't vote according to a long party line. I vote candidates. So I had somebody who is in a developed country, in a civilized world, calling people that came to maybe live in Lagos, miscreant migrants. I was like, I don't get it. I asked the person when I was talking, I asked the person, you live in a developed world. I said, Abike celebrated many Nigerians who won election in US. Are they from there? Are they not blacks? I said, did you protest against
thank you, sir. I quite appreciate what you're trying to talk about, hate speech, which is one of the things that we will need to look at. One thing I will tell everybody, though, is that at the end of this election, we will have to have a healing process, which I would love to be part of, across the nation. We have something that begins to change the mindset of Nigerians. We can't continue to live like animals like this. We can't. We can't continue to live in a society where we can't get ourselves organized and be a brother's keeper. So what is the essence of having so many churches and mosques and traditional places of worship? What's the essence? You know, and you have this dogged and stubborn mindset of certain persons. They keep arguing with you, they keep coming at you. And I ask them for the logic of it, nobody can show me. Okay, so even if my brother were to be governor of Lagos today, okay, so what I get, of course, is loads of money, contracts, everything, influence, and so on and so forth. Is that what I'm going to show God when I get to heaven? When they write the history of the state, will I be saying them that as the governor's brother, I got contract at about 15 times the cost to build a bridge or build a house or whatever? I mean, let's get real. And let's show some maturity and humaneness in the things that we do. I'd like to call on the governor one more time to condemn these acts, please, publicly. Your word, sir, your word at this time would show that you have nothing absolutely to do with this. I agree. I don't place this responsibility at his neck, but I agree that his overzealous supporters will be doing all kinds of things, including one of the, like Mariam said this morning, one of his own officials was carrying a signpost that addressed some kind of hate speech. I mean, he didn't know, and to be fair to him, he thought he was showing his loyalty to the governor. But that photograph there is there for posterity. It's something that says that Lagos is as you came here for business. The implication of all that is hate speech. And so let's be guided. Let's be guided, you know, over zealous. There will always be a tomorrow, and you will always be held accountable. It doesn't just end here. Okay? So when you call in, please, we are going to stick to the 1 minute policy, but package your thoughts very well, okay? Just give your name and where you're calling from and move on. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
My name is Gary. I'm calling from Surulere.
Yes.
I suspect that if APC won Lagos, we won't have so much drama. I think that I'm somebody that believes in live and let live. So I pick my candidate, you pick yours, don't impose yours on mine, and we'll be fine.
Mm.
Why are they constantly pushing particular candidates down our throats?
Okay.
It's not right.
Well, some of them, thank you. You see, you must understand politicians. For them, the end justifies the means. You know, they usually hear this phrase that power is not served a la carte. I agree. You got to struggle for it, but not in a devious manner. At the end of the day, the will of the people should prevail. And we must be ready to accept that. You know, we must be ready to accept that. After the elections, we are going to be re-examining a whole lot of things. But like my people say, when houses fall on top of each other, trees fall on top of each other, you remove the one on the top first. Because what we are hearing about forcing people to do certain things in the public service, they don't sound too palatable, but I don't want to deal with that now. In any case, everybody has the freedom to decide what he would or wouldn't do. Okay, so let's take another. Hello.
Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
I greet you, sir.
Yes.
This is the real Uche from the UK.
Yes, Uche from Ikeja. It's a shame.
Uncle Jimmy, it's a shame. It's a shame. Uncle Jimmy, I've been weeping for my country in the last few days. It's a shame. It's a shame. Uncle Jimmy, let me inquire from you. The soldiers that were brought in, are they still on the streets?
I mean, I don't go out. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't go out.
Because I heard what you said about... the police and their...
No, I don't... The police said that, I don't go out, you know. Condition has asked that I have to move from my... Which is just 10 kilometers away. I have to go and rent another house and... that's the condition. So...
Uncle Jimmy, because it is that we've lost confidence in the Nigerian police. Let's be honest about these things. When they come out and say, you are secured and all that, it's... nobody takes it seriously.
Well, I agree with you, but
the elections now, where police officers were standing right in front of thugs. So what are we talking about?
Well,
so for me, it's a shame. It's a shame, honestly.
Well,
their
spokesperson said that. What did you expect them to do? Well, that's a story for another day. Well, we are doing the postmortem, we'll handle that. I have another caller.
For that postmortem, because I know you will still do it. So I'm waiting and then I'll call in and air my views as well.
Okay,
it's sad where we are.
Let's pick another caller.
It's really sad.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay. I just want to share my thoughts. My name is Meg.
Yes.
And like you rightly said, we are all preaching peace this morning.
Yes.
We don't want a divided Lagos. We don't want a divided country.
Yes.
Be that as it may, we all have to agree that people can make their choices.
Definitely.
I can decide to eat amala and we do decide to eat amala and beggary. It doesn't matter. That's what I want.
Yes.
So let's all allow people to do what they want to do. Don't make people think they are helpless, hopeless, that they don't have a choice in the affairs of where they live. I have people from different parts of the country that are my friends. And like you said, the young people are, they are blind to color. They don't see those things. It doesn't mean anything to them. So what I want to appeal to everybody is that in as much as we doubt whether we'll be safe on Saturday, I will come out and vote for whoever I want to vote for.
Yeah.
There's strength in number. So let's all go in fours or fives and see what will happen. Let's vote for whoever we want to vote for.
That's
the liberty that we have. That's the democracy that everybody is preaching about. Who does this, according to you and Pastor Ito? Who does this?
So
when you want to make people do what they don't want to do, sir.
Okay,
it's quite unfortunate where we are.
Thank
we hate speech, like somebody rightly said.
Thank you. Your 1 minute is up, please. When I'm trying to stop you, please try and round up. You know, the irony is that for those who are perpetrating this new phenomenon, it will even backfire on their candidates. I can assure you. You see, so what do you get? You get some part that comes to your side, but you get a larger part that shifts ultimately. That's what it does, and it strengthens the resolve of those who are, like you call, on the other side. So even as a strategy, it doesn't make sense. I can assure you. Rather appeal to people. You know, if you're a fresh candidate, tell them what you are going to do. If you're an old candidate, show them what you have done. It's very simple. These kind of things, at the end of the day, I can assure you, end up being counterproductive. They end up being counterproductive. 9:49, I can just take two more callers and then I'll be out of here. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Oh, thank God. This is Joy.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so happy for what she was saying this morning because I've been so sad.
Yes.
Since after the election and what has been going on. If you're on social media, I see a lot of hate speeches, you know, trying to make the other ethnic group inferior to a place where they have lived all their lives. I have lived in Lagos for more than 3 decades, so, and I don't know why I should be seen as a, you know, as a second class citizen in my own country. It's actually very bad. GRV is even a more Nigerian because his dad married an Igbo. He himself married an Igbo. He stays in Lagos, does his things in Lagos. So I don't see any reason why they should even allow him to.
Madam, please, okay. what we said, we don't want to do a synopsis of. it's okay. Thank you very much. We don't want to do a synopsis of what's going on. We just want to talk in general principles. Okay, because once you begin to go into that synopsis, then we just lose. For me, I don't care who becomes governor. I've developed a thick skin. I've seen all kinds of governance. I've suffered under some governments, but I've developed a thick skin. I'm gradually coming to reality with the country that I live in, the state that I am from, and the state that I live in. I'm coming to reality. So I don't care who becomes governor. Nothing's going to change if care is not taken. Soja go, soja come. But the only thing that, at least after all what I have suffered in the past 4 years in this state, the only thing the state can give me back, for God's sake, is peace. I know how much it has cost me to live in this state in the last 4 years. So the only thing I beg of these politicians is at least to let me have a peaceful environment. I cannot move to Benin Republic, but it's too far from here, isn't it? No, but I'm talking seriously. I might make a joke out of it just to douse tensions. But I don't care who becomes governor. The system is what it is. You're not going to look like to have a new civil service or whatever it is. But all of us know what it takes to live in this place. Then for God's sake, let us even have peace. Or is it that some people want us to vacate the state for them? I mean, I don't go anywhere. Now here I go die. By inshallah, by the grace of God. One more thing, and we'll be out of here. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Uncle Jay. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your summit, sir. What we can say is let people make their choice, and
exactly.
Let the civil servants should be neutral at the same time, and we pray that peace will continue to reign in Lagos. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, man. On that note, I got to go. I'll be back here tomorrow. We'll have the meet tomorrow for all it's worth. You know, we can't. We'll have Dear Bumi tomorrow. I have an old fox, Helen Emore, who's been here a few times and would lighten up things. Helen Emore, by the way, might also be with me on the day of the elections. We'll be with Segun Agbede from 7 to 10 or so. Okay? So go out there and enjoy yourselves. What's Up Lagos comes next. You don't want to miss it. Don't touch that dial. Bye.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.